Today's Shir is Masechta Sota Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Hei on Aleph, the second line, Elam Ato. In the previous year, when we had begun learning Perek Egla Rufa, discussing the halachas of Egla Rufa, we had learned in the Mishnah and in the Gemara a machloikis of how many members of the Sanhedrin actually had to go out to perform the procedure with the Egla Rufa. According to Rav Shimon, according to the Rabbanon, 3 members had to go, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, 5 members had to go. And as we discussed, their opinions are based on the way they understand the Pesukim. Ask the Gemara, Elam Ata, if we're learning the Pasuk, and based on the wording of the Pasuk, we're understanding how many people have to go out. The Pasuk says the Yatsu, so that should add another 2 people, Shnayim, that have to go out. Umaratu should add another Shnayim, another 2 people. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda, who we already had proven required 5 people to go out, we should add another 4 to give us a total of a Reikan Tisha of 9 people going out. Rabbi Shimon, who had 3 people, now that we're adding another 4, HaReikan Shiva, we should have 7 people going out. Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Boile, the Pasuk comes to teach us, L'chritanya, V'yotsu, Hein, V'loi Shluchayim, that the members of the Sanhedrin themselves have to go out. They cannot rely on Shlichim. Even though, as the Mefarshim point out, we know that throughout Shas, the Halach is Shlucha Shladim K'maisai, so why over here can they not rely on Shlichim? So as I saw Rav David Pivarsky explain, because this is like a mitzvah of wearing tefillin, where you can't rely on a shliach. Here too, you can't rely on a shliach to do this mitzvah on your behalf. There's a machloikis when it says here that the members of the Sanhedrin themselves have to go out. Does that mean that they also have to personally go out and do the measuring? Or, as long as they personally go out, even if someone, if their messengers do the measuring, that's satisfactory. Madadu. The Pasuk says, Umaradu, Shafilo Nimtza Balili Ir. Even if it's obvious next to which city this corpse was found, Hayimaradin. They anyway measured, Shemitzvah Lasik Medida. There's a specific mitzvah to do Medida. And there's a Machlaikis Rishayinim, why? Some explain, because we want to catch the murderer. And by doing the Medida, we're very likely to catch. It's going to give it a lot of publicity, and we may be able to catch the murderer. Another pshat is that this person who died, we don't want his wife to be an aguna. We want his yorshim to be able to inherit his estate. So if we have this publicity, it's more likely that people will hear about it and will be able to save his wife and help his yorshim. Another pshat is that here we never have a corpse laying here. Part of the process of the kapara for what happened is going through this entire procedure, even if there's no question. So clearly, the Braisa tells us that we have to do medida under all circumstances. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole sefer, Mitzvah Segla Ruf, it's called Nachal Eson, and he says there was a mitzvah, and when they did it, they made a bracha. We have a machloikus, however, in the case where we know exactly which is the closest city, that the Gemara is saying the measurement had to be done anyway, what does that mean? Some Rishonim, the Mishnah Melech says, it means that they had to go through measuring from that city to the closest to that city. They did only one measuring. Normally measuring involves measuring to all the nearby cities. Here they only measure to the city that they know is going to be the winner anyway. However, there are other Rishonim that say, no, you have to go through a full-fledged measuring procedure. And yet a third opinion that I saw is that you have to measure everything besides the city that's closest. The city that's closest, I know. Everything else we have to rule out by measuring. Says the Gemara, Masnitzin d'loik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Oima, Zekenecha Zu Sanhedrin. Zekenecha refers to the Sanhedrin. Sheftecha, when the Pasuk says Sheftecha, it requires the Melech and Kohen Gadol, that the Melech and Kohen Gadol should also participate. Melech d'ksiv, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, And that refers to the Kohen Gadol who's in charge of all the Kohanim. The Masha asks, how could we learn from the one word Shoftecho two halachas, both a melech and a Kohen Gadol? Usually we only can learn one halacha from one word. So he says, there's a rule throughout Shas. When we have one word that can be used for two dinim, and both dinim can be learned out equally, we have no reason to prefer one din over the other, then we can learn both from that same one word. And that's the case over here. Ask the Gemara, Iboiluhu, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, v'melech v'kohen gadol hu d'pligi. The Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov certainly disagrees regarding the melech and kohen gadol that have to participate. Although the Mefarshim point out that even Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that if we don't have the melech, we still could go ahead with the procedure. What's the proof? Because we know that the procedure of Egel Arufa continued into the time of Bayi Sheni, even though there were no real melech kings at that time. Now the question is, what is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion regarding the Sanhedrin? Alba Sanhedrin, regarding the Sanhedrin, Ikra Yehudi Krav Shimon Svirle, there does he agree with Rebbe Yehuda Rav Shimon? Or Dilma, there, the Sanhedrin, Nami Polik, he's also going to be disagreeing with them regarding the Sanhedrin. They say either three members or five members, and he's going to hold at the Ikka Kula Sanhedrin. You have to have the entire Sanhedrin present, otherwise it's not acceptable. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Toshma, the Gemara, Masech the Sanhedrin, the Torah discusses the concept of a Zaka Mamre. A Zaka Mamre is somebody who has smicha and rebels against the psak of the Bezdin HaGadol, of the Sanhedrin. They said one thing, and he disobeys and disagrees, that is chayv misa. So the Mishnah says, the Brisa says, Masech the Sanhedrin, Motzon Zaka Mamre, if they found a Zaka Mamre, a Beipagi. Beipagi is an area outside in Yerushalayim, but on the outer limits of Yerushalayim. Others say why it was called Beipagi, because that was where the Lechem Haponim was baked. The Lechem Haponim is called Pas Pagbag. So that's a place within Yerushalayim, not within the Azara, not with the Leshkos HaGozes, where the Sanhedrin normally sit. The Himra Aleihem. And this Zakei Mamre performed his rebellion in that spot. Yochel Tehei Amro Sahamro, we would think that that should be considered an act of Hamro, Tamalayim Vakamta Valisa Elamokam, Melamed Shamokam Goyram. Only in the Lishkas HaGozes is there a case of Zokam Mamri. It's interesting. Here the Pasuk says Vakamta Valisa Elamokam, and we say it means the Lishkas HaGozes in the Azorah. We have the Pasuk Mokam by Maisa Sheni, and there we say it means all of Yerushalayim. So how come their Mokka means Yerushalayim and here Mokka means the Azara? So I said two answers. You always have to look in the context. By the Sanhedrin, they're supposed to be in Lishkas HaGozes. So Mokka means Lishkas HaGozes. There, all of Yerushalayim is where you're allowed to eat the Maisa Sheni. So Mokka means all of Yerushalayim. Another teretz that I saw is there's a difference that the Pasuk uses the word Mokkaim or HaMokkaim. Mokkaim means all of Yerushalayim. HaMokkaim, with that extra hay, means the Lishkas HaGozes. So the Pasuk is teaching us that if he did this act of Hamra in Yerushalayim, but not in the Lishkas HaGozes, it's not considered act of Havra. Now obviously to do it, you have to have the Sanhedrin there. So the question is, the Nafakama, how many members of the Sanhedrin were in this Beipagi where he did this act? Elam of the Nafak Mitzosin, that not all of the Sanhedrin were there. So of course his act is a meaningless act. Because maybe the ones that remain in the Sanhedrin, in the Lishkas HaGozes, would have agreed with him. And therefore, of course, he's not really doing an act of rebellion. And furthermore, as the Mefarshim explained, it could well be that even if most of the members of the Sanhedrin are there, we always have to be concerned, the Marit explains the Gemara this way, we always have to be concerned that maybe that minority group that were left in the Lishkas HaGozes, if they would have heard his opinion, would have heard the Zaka Mamre's opinion, would have agreed with the Zaka Mamre, and they would have been able to convince and influence all of the members of the Sanhedrin that the Zaka Mamre is indeed correct. Elo, it must be, El Pshita de Nofakula, it must be that all of the Sanhedrin is in the Beipagi. And they're all there, and he went against what they said. Now, The question is, what are they doing there? Ulamai. Ilad varishus, if they just went there because they wanted to go there, the question is, mimotsanafki, could they then all go and leave the Lishkas Hagozes? V'ksiv, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Sarayach, Sarayach refers to the Sanhedrin, Rashi says, because they're like the navel, they're the scent of the world. Agan HaSahar, they sit like a moon, because the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that the Beis Din sits in a semicircle, like a moon shape. Ayechser HaMezek, you should never miss the formula. Mezek, we know, Meziga throughout Shas means when you dilute wine. The formula for dilution was two parts water, one part wine. So you always have to have a third of the Sanhedrin remain in the Lishkas Hagozes to teach us. Shemnitzok Echemem Lotzes, if a member of the Sanhedrin wanted to leave the Lishkas Hagozes, Im Yesham Esrim V'Shloisha, if you have 23 members left, Kineged Sanhedrin Katani, which is the amount of members you have in a Sanhedrin Katana, then the halacha is Yotze, he may leave. Vimlav any Yotze. So you can't have a situation where all of the Sanhedrin is in the Beit Pagi. So Mefarshim asks, the Sanhedrin don't sit in the Lishkas Hagozes all day. The Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, that after the Tomit Sheben Abayim, they all went home. The answer is, they all went home to their own homes. They didn't all go together to the Beit Pagi. Where is there a case that they're all together on the Beit Pagi? El Pshita, that they went to the Beit Pagi, Lidvar Mitzvah, to conduct the Mitzvah, and that's why they're all allowed to leave the Lishkas Hagozes together. Lamai, what Dvar Mitzvah would they have in the Beit Pagi? Lav, Lemedida Sagola. It must be a case where they're going to do the Egla Rufa procedure, and it represents the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he that says that all of the Sanhedrin attends the Egla Rufa procedure. Amle Abaya, says Abaya Loi. They're not going for that purpose. Dilma Lahoysev Alair Valazaris. They're going to expand the city of Yerushalayim, that the halacha Kirtnana or the expand the Azara. There's certain halachas that have to take place within the city of Yerushalayim, like we mentioned before. Maisa Sheni has to be eaten within the city. Yeah, or they're going to expand the Azara, which again the halacha is there's certain things that have to be done in the Azara. Kochi Kochim, for example, may only be eaten in the Azara. Kirtnan, as the Mishnah says, Masechta Sanhedrin, Ey Maisif and Alair Valazaris. You can't conduct this expansion. El Bebezin Shoshim Ve'echad. So there's no proof. It could well be that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't require the entire Sanhedrin. What's the entire Sanhedrin doing there? They're there for expanding that mitzvah, expanding the city or the Azara. However, Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yosef, now we're going to quote a braisa that explicitly teaches us that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, all of the Sanhedrin had to go out for this Egla Rufa procedure. Because it says in a braisa, Matzan Beis Pagi v'Emer Aleihem, if this act of Hamroah took place in the Beis Pagi, why would they be in the Beis Pagi? Says the braisa, Kigan Shiyotzul Medidas Azara, they all went out there for the Medidas Azara, or Lehesef Aleir Val Azaris, or they went to expand Yerushalayim the Azara, Yochol Te Hamroah Samroah, Tamalayim V'kant V'lisa Melamed Shemakum Gairim. So here the braisa clearly teaches us that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, all of the Sanhedrin went out for the Egla Rufa procedure. We learned in the Mishnah, Nimtzu Tam Begal, if we found this corpse covered, a Tola B'Ilon, or hanging on a tree, it's not considered a corpse for which the Egla Rufa procedure is performed. Says the Gemara, Lema, the Gemara wants to suggest, the Mesnisen, that our Mishnah, follows the opinion of Yehuda Hivala Rabbanan, follows the opinion of Yehuda and not Rabbanan. The Tanya, because the Braisa teaches us. We know that one of the Matnas Anim is Shicha. Shicha is that if somebody, as he's collecting craps, left one or two bundles, forgot, that has to be left for the Anim. So the Pasuk says, V'shechachta oim v'sada prat l'tomen, that if the bundle that was left was covered, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered Shicha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'cham oimrim, v'sada l'rabbis is l'tomen, that the word besada comes to teach us on the contrary, that tamen is considered shecha. So if our Mishnah is teaching us that the word besada used by Egla Rufa also comes to exclude tamen, it obviously follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Afilu Tem Rabbanan. Regarding Egla Rufa, even the Rabbanan could agree. Because you always have to look at the context of the pasuk. Hocham in Yonah the Kroh and Hosham in Yonah the Kroh. You always have to look at the concept. The Ksiv. The pasuk regarding Egla Rufa says, Ki matzachol, if you find a corpse, Hecha de mishtakach, wherever you find a corpse, the Egla Rufa procedure is called for. If the Torah adds the word Badoma, what does it come to teach us? Prat l'tamin, that if it's covered, then the din doesn't apply. But now, let's look at the pasuk b'shicha. For hasa minyan of the kra. The ksiv, ki siksa kitzircha besada v'shachachta oimer. So the Torah compares shicha dumi de katzir. That the shicha is similar to the part that you cut. The part that you cut, ma katzir begoloi. Af shicha begoloi. So if we only had this pasuk, we would say that shicha only applies to bundles that are not covered. Kos rechmar besada. Why does the Torah have to add the word besada? To teach us, the rabbis satomen, that even something that's covered is subject to shicha. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we understand. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that shicha does not apply by something covered. So why do I need a special pasuk? If I don't have a special pasuk, that's pshat in the pasuk. We should learn that tamen is excluded from shicha from the fact that the Torah compares it to katzir. Why do I need a special pasuk? That is indeed how Rabbi Yehuda knows that shicha does not apply to something that's covered. So ask the Gemara, Ela Sada Lamali. So then what will Rabbi Yehuda do with the word Sada? Answers the Gemara, Mibayla Le Rabbi Shicha Kama. That even some, if a bundle wasn't yet cut, it still could be subject to shicha. Rabbanon, that used the word Sada to teach us that shicha applies to covered bundles, Shichas Kama Minalahu, where will they know this din from? Answers the Gemara, Nafkala Miki Siksa Ktsircha Besadcha. From those words. Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda use with those, that word for? Mibayla Lechavua Mirabalaza. He needs it to teach us a Ravua's din. Dam Ravua Mirabalaza. Repratlet Shitsofu Aimelim the Taich Stechaveroi. That if the Shicha floated or traveled in, out of my field into someone else's field, then it's not subject to Sicha. Machlaikus Rishonim, Machlaikus Rashi and the Rambam. What does that mean? According to the Rambam, if my bundles travel into my friend's, somebody else's field, they're never subject to Shicha. Rashi differentiates between if I'm aware of it, if I was aware that they traveled there and then forgot them, then Rashi says that even though they're not in my field, then someone else's field, they're subject to Shicha, but only if they went to somebody else's field and I wasn't aware of it, then Rashi will agree that it's not subject to Shicha. Rabbanan, where will Rabbanan know this din from? Besada besatcha. He learns it from the extra chaf. Rabbi Yehuda, besada besatcha loy mashmoy. He doesn't learn the extra chaf. Ask the Rishonim. In the previous year, Rabbi Yehuda used the word zikainecha to teach us how many members of the Sanhedrin go out. And who goes out. And here we say, from the extra chaf. And here we're saying that he doesn't learn chaf. So Mefarshim answer. Saying satcha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not superfluous. Because where do you take crops from? Satcha, from your field. So therefore, he doesn't consider this chaf superfluous. By zekenecha, there's no reason. It's not your zekenim. There he agrees that the chaf is superfluous that we could use to learn a limit from. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, tzofa amrim l'toich sedehu. If there are amrim in your field, but not on the ground, now, avisad kesadadami, is the airspace of your field like your field, or lav kesadadami, or it's not considered like your field. As the Mefarshim explained, typically throughout halacha, the airspace of an area is certainly considered like that area. But here the Torah uses the word sadcha, oimer besada, so it has to be maybe directly on the field. And if it's not directly on the field, it won't be shicha. Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Papi, v'amalei Rav Kahana Rav Zvid, we could answer this question from what Rabbi Avuah said. That if they floated into his friend's field, they're not subject to shicha. What do we see? The chaveroi in. Only when they're in your friend's field, then they're not shicha. But if they're your own field, even though they're not touching the ground, they would be subject to shicha. Ask the Gemara, according to what you're saying, is the din l'toich stei chaveroi, when they float into your neighbor's field, only tzafu, only if they're in the ear, menochen loy, but if they're on the ground of your friend's field, they will be subject to shikha. They'll be eaten besotcha. They're not in your field. So what's the difference if they're on the ground of your friend's field or in the ear of your friend's field? V'leka. L'toich stei chaveroi, when it talks about your friend's field, there, v'fil menochen. It's even there on the ground of your field. So the question is, so why did the Braisa have to speak? Why did Rabbi Avuah have to speak about a case of tzofu? He should have told us that even if they're on the ground of your friend's field, they won't be subject to shikha. How did they get to your friend's field? They must have floated there. So we still don't have an answer. What is the halacha if the shikha is not directly on the ground? Toshma, oyma shechzikba lelicha l'ir. Somebody took crops to take it to the city. And he put one bundle of crops on top of another bundle of crop. V'shachu, and he forgot it. And then it became shikha. So the halacha is a tachton shikha. The bottom one is considered shikha. The elyon ain't a shikha. Rav Shimon, Yehuda, I'm Rav Shimon, ain't a shneim ain't a shikha. Both aren't considered shikha. Hatachton is not considered shikha with neishu tamen, because it's covered. The elyon with neishu tzaf. Explains the Gemara the proof it's trying to say. The machlokes in this braisa is only regarding the bottom bundle. Because it goes back to the machlokes that we learned a few lines ago. Is tamen exempt or not exempt from shikha? The upper one, which is not touching the ground, it seems that this braisa will hold. The derehakel will have a shikha. So we see an answer to our question that something that's not on the ground is not shikha. Says the Gemara, there's no proof. Shani Hassam, there it's not shikha for a different reason. Because kiven de ichsik bay, once I grabbed hold of it, zoche bay. The halach is, it can no longer be shikha. Says the Gemara, if the reason that it's exempt from shikha, because once I took it, it can never be subject to shikha anymore. Why does the Braisa have to be speaking about a case where one bundle is on top of the other one? I feel the sadanami. Even if it's on the ground, since I already grabbed it, the Braisa is teaching us it's never subject to shikha. So why do we have to specifically speak about a case where it's on top of another bundle? Says the Gemara Enochanami. You're right. Even if I wouldn't have put it on top of another bundle, it would not be subject to shikha once I had it. So why did the Braisa choose to speak about such a case? Shum tachten. To teach us that what will the halacha be with the bottom one, that really reflects the old machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, says the Gemara. But the Braisa said when they shoot tzof kama. The Braisa didn't say that the reason that the upper one is exempt is because I already grabbed hold of it. The Braisa said that the reason it's exempt is because it's floating. And says the Gemara, Eimem neshuk tzof. Something that I grabbed hold of it already has the same din like something that's floating in the air. Something floating in the air is not subject to shikha. It's like in my hand. It's not shikha. This also is not going to be shikha. But that is the same reason. So here we see that something that's in the ear space, but not on the ground, is not subject to shikha. If I grabbed hold of it. But if I didn't grab hold of it, we don't know. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says the following. Hareni ka ben Azay b'shukut Tveria. Ben Azay made the following statement. Abaye made the following statement. Ben Azay, we know, was a gvaldige Talmud Chacham. And Abaye, on a day that he felt very well, and he felt that his learning was very good, said, I'm like Ben Azay b'shukut Tveria. What does it mean b'shukut Tveria? So he saw two pshatim. One pshat is in a day that he was in a particularly strong mood of learning, there were a lot of Talmidim, he had a lot of students come to his shir, and there was no room in the Beis Medrash. So they had to go out to the Shuk to learn. Another pshat I saw from Rabbi Yoshev. He says, Rabbi was teaching us a tremendous lesson. It's not just enough to learn when you're in the Beis Medrash, when you're in the yeshiva. Even when you're in the Shuk Eit Tveria, even when you're out in the world, your head should be connected to learning. Amalei humed Rabbanu Labaya. So one of Rabbanan asked Abaye the following question. Shnei chalolim zel gabizeh. If we have two corpses, one laying on top of the other, meichen humaydet, from where exactly do you measure? And as Rav Chaim Kieski explains, obviously, one corpse is closer to one city and one corpse is closer to another. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a question. Do we say, min b'minoi have a tumen? When you have one corpse atop of the other corpse, even though they're both corpses, the bottom corpse is considered tumen. Or min b'minoi have a tumen, but the upper corpse is not considered floating. And therefore, you only measure from the upper one. Or perhaps, min b'minoi have a tumen. It's considered like it's floating, but it's not considered, min b'minoi have a tumen. It's not considered covered. And therefore, mitach b'moided, you only measure from the bottom one, not from the upper one. Or dilma, min b'minoi have a tumen. It's considered both a situation of tumen and min b'minoi have a tzof, and it's also considered a case of floating. And therefore, the loy mitach b'moided, the loy melyim b'moided, you don't measure from either of them. And Rashi says there's one more option. Another option is, it's not considered covered, and it's not considered floating, and therefore you measure from both. And as we explained, you would have to bring two egla rufus for the two different niftarim. There are rishonim that disagree with Rashi that say that we never can have from one situation two egla rufus brought. And that's why the Gemara, according to those rishonim, and there's a pshat to those rishonim, doesn't bring down this option. Rashi, who does bring down this option, says that the Gemara didn't have to mention this fourth option. We could understand that ourselves. Amalei, Tinasua. We learned in a brisa. If somebody took Omer, the shicha, the bundle, on the mat with the intention to take it to the city, and then he put it on top of another bundle, the shicha, and he forgot it, so the halacha is a tachtoin, the bottom one is considered shicha, the elyon ain't a shicha, and the upper one is not considered shicha. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Rav Shimon ben Shimon, shnei men a shicha. Both of them are not considered shicha. A tachton is not considered shicha m'neishu tamin. The elyon m'neishu tzof. And the older, upper one is considered not shicha because it's not, it's like floating. Savruah. So the B'nai Yeshiva thought, the hani tanoik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlai. Both of these tanoim agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Daimar, that Rabbi Yehuda says, besada, prat l'tamin. That covered shicha is not considered shicha. And what is the machloik is there for? Ma, Bahok Peligi, the mass of Mimba Mino have a tamen, that if it's covered with its own type, it falls into the category of tamen. Or mass of, and the other mandama holds, that if it's covered with something that is the same thing that is it itself, loy have a tamen. Says the word loy. That's not the way to understand the brisa. Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlai, if we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then everybody will agree, Mimba Mino have a tamen. And it will be considered tamen and not be subject to shicha. The machloikas of that brisa is indeed for hachabal plukta Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanon kamefli. They go back to the machloikas that we discussed in Amun Aleph. The rabbanon hold like rabbanon that tamen is not exempt, and therefore even if it's covered, it's not exempt. If that's the case, why does it have to be one on top of the other? Why don't we say, if this is a classical case of tamen, then why does it have to be covered with its own type? I feel about b'tzror nami, even if it's covered with earth or dust, it would also be considered tamen, which is exempt according to Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, and a chanami. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this will be considered tamen under all cases. But the Rabbi Yehuda, dom afil memin b'mino have a tamen. That even when you have the same type, it's still considered tamen. So we don't have an answer. What will the Rabbanon hold in this case? Tan Rabbanon, Cholol, when the Pasuk says about the corpse, it's a corpse that was stabbed, V'loy Chonuk, and it wasn't choked. And this Machlokes Rishonim had to understand the exemption of a choked corpse. Some learn that a corpse that was choked, the Torah is telling us, is not considered a corpse for which we bring the Egla Rufa. Other Rishonim say it's not because he was murdered by choking versus stabbing that exempts him. When you see a choked corpse, you always have to be concerned that he choked by himself, Chas v'Shalom. And that's why he wasn't murdered. And the parasha of Egla Rufa was only said when somebody was murdered. What would be the nafka mina between these two pshatim? Very obvious. When you see that the corpse was choked, but it's obvious that he wasn't choked, that he was choked by someone else. According to the first pshat, a choked corpse is always exempt. According to the second pshat, if it's clear that somebody else choked him, even though he didn't die by being stabbed, he would be subject to Egla Rufa. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Cholo v'loy mefarfer. If it's not, you know, after a person dies, something still withers, it reads in pain, then you don't bring an Egla Rufa. Here too, I saw a three-way machloikus. What does this mean? Some Rishonim say that if when you found this person, mefarper, this person will never cause the Egla Rufa procedure to be affected. Other Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is that if it's mefarper, you don't do the Egla Rufa process until you actually see it dead. But once the corpse is dead and you didn't know who killed him, the Egla Rufa procedure is followed. And yet a third opinion holds as follows. If you see the corpse being mefarper and you watch it all along, then you wouldn't do it. But let's say you saw it mefarper and then you didn't watch it. And then when you came back, it's laying dead, then you would do the Egla Rufa. Badoma, so like we said before, v'loitam, not if it's covered. Begal, neufel, v'loitam, begal, not covered. Neufel, v'loitol, belin, not hanging on a tree. V'soda, v'loitzofa, pleimayim, not floating in the water. Rebbe Lozor, I'm a bekulim, ha'yacholo, in all situations, if you have a dead corpse, orphan. Tanya, Amr, Rebbe Yosef, Yehuda. Amr, Rebbe Lozor, don't you agree, shim, ha'yachonuk, that if you found a corpse that was choked, umutaba ashba, shane orphan. Don't you agree to that then? Alma, so we obviously learn, even you agree, cholo v'loy chonuk. So I sort of grow asks, the point here is that the corpse was choked, not stabbed. Why does he have to mention the case of mutal ba'ashba on top of it? The point is that it was chonuk. So the grow wants to suggest that if a mace is found mutal ba'ashba, not just on the ground, there will also be a reason to exempt from going through Egla Rufa processes. So if you're learning, ask the Gemara to Rebbe Lezer, you're agreeing to the limud of Cholo V'loy Chanuk, why don't you agree Hakanami to the limud of Adama V'loy Tom Begal, Neufel V'loy Tolem Be'ilon, B'Sada V'loy Tzofa Gabamayim? Rebbe Lezer says, Cholo Yaseirik Siv. There's an extra word, Cholo, to teach us this din. That's why I agree to the din of Chanuk, but I don't agree to the other dinim, because they're not learned from extra words. We learned in the Mishnah, Nimtza Samach L'Svar, if the corpse is found near the border, Oili Ir Sheruba Ev D'Kachavim, you don't bring it. The Ksiv Ki Yamotzei, if a corpse was found, Prat L'Motzei, it was found near a place where murder is prevalent, then the Parash of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. Or if it was found the Ir Shei Mebezdin, the Be'enin Zikne ear, you have to take it to a place where there are bezdin veleka. Ain murder than leir sheyesh bebezdin pshita. Ask the Gemara, kiven the tana leir sheyim bezdin that you don't measure to a city that doesn't have a bezdin. And now you're done. It's obvious that we could infer that ain murder than leir sheyesh bebezdin that you only can measure to a city that does have a bezdin. Answers the Gemara, hakamashma. The Mishnah is trying to teach us the following din. Kretanya, menayin shenitzel leir sheyim bebezdin. Let's say you found it next to a city that doesn't have a bezdin. Sheminich nasoi, so you can't measure to that city. Or maridin le'ir sheyesh bebezdin, and you go to the city that has a bezdin. Tamalayma v'lochu zikne'ir ahi mikom makad. You always have to measure to the city that has a bezdin. So the question is obvious. If the closest city doesn't have a bezdin, and the furthest city has a bezdin, so just because they have a bezdin, they should be responsible? So to advance, because of this question, explains the Gemara this way. The Gemara is referring to a situation where you have three cities that are very close. And one city doesn't have a Bezdin, and the other two cities do have a Bezdin. What the Gemara is saying is, exclude the city that doesn't have a Bezdin, and include the cities with a Bezdin. Sfasemis says a different pshat, very bechidish. Sfasemis says, why does it make a difference if it does have a Bezdin, doesn't have a Bezdin? The answer is, because, as we quoted, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, the murder is prevalent where people don't follow din. So it's the city that had the Bezdin that's responsible that such a terrible tragedy happened. So even though they may be geographically a little further, they are the responsible city, and therefore they have to bring the Egla Rufa. Chavetz Chaim says a very bechidish. He says, all the Gemara is referring to is measuring. He says, we measure to the city that has the Bezdin. But of course, when it comes to pay for the Egla Rufa, the city that's closest is going to pay. Says the Mishnah, Nimtzim Mechuvim et Shtei Yoros. If the mace was found exactly between two cities, Shtei Mevi Shtei Agolos. They both have to bring an Egla Rufa. They're very rebelezer. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, and Yerushalayim Mevi Egla Rufa. Yerushalayim doesn't bring an Egla Rufa. Nimtzim Roish Vemakim Echad. If the head was found in one city, the Guf Vemakim Echad, or the body in another place, Melichna Roish Etzel Aguf, we carry the head to the body. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Kiva Omer, Haguf Etzel Aroish. Ma'ayin Hayimodin, exactly from where on the body did they measure? Rabbi Eliezer Mutiburai, from his navel. Kiva Omer, Mechotmei, from his nose. Rabbi Eliezer, Yaakov Omer, Mamakum Shanasa Cholo, from the place that he was stabbed, Mitzavore. Ask the Mara. So we have here Machloikis, Rabbanon, and Rabbi Eliezer, if it's found exactly between two cities. Rabbi Eliezer says both cities bring. My Talmud Rabbi Eliezer, Kesover, Efshlet Samtsim. It is possible that it should be exactly equal. And therefore, Kroiv, Afil, Kroiv, both cities have to bring. The Gemara Masechta Bechairis brings two opinions of what the Chachom who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer hold. One opinion says that it's Efshlet Samtsim. There's one city that's closer. Maybe we, with our naked eye, with our limited abilities, can't tell, but there's one closer and one not. So what they should do is both cities should participate and make a Tanai. If we're obligated, then it's ours. If you're obligated, it's yours. The third sheet that the Gemara says, Masechta Chayrus, says that only one city has to bring. And since we don't know which city is that city, no one brings. Then Yerushalayim via Galarufa, Damakar L'Rishta, a place that is divided. V'ksava Yerushalayim L'Nishak L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim wasn't divided. Ask the Chazon Ish, we just learned the other day that Yerushalayim was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. So what does the Gemara say? That Yerushalayim lay in the Schalka. Answers the Chazon Ish. Yes, of course, when they came to Yisrael, Yerushalayim was divided. But after Yehuda and Binyamin got their share in Yerushalayim, they gave it up to all of Klal Yisrael. They gave it up to all of Klal Yisrael. Because Yerushalayim belongs to all of us. Nimtzei Roish v'Makom Echad. So we had a machlokes, what do you follow, the head or the body? But my kamifugi, what is machlokes? They're arguing from where we measured. Says the Gemara, Had Melitani say for the end of our Mishnah discusses from where in the body they measure. Mechlal, obviously the reisha lab medida skin in the beginning of the Mishnah is not referring to measuring. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, this part of the Mishnah is discussing a different subject. The halach is meis mitzvah koinem koinem kamifugi. The halach is that a meis mitzvah is buried where he's found. Machlaikis hapaiskim, what does that mean? Does it mean that you have a right to bury him there? Or does it mean that you have to bury him there? Vachkama. Lekoivroi, if we find a meis mitzvah, koinem koinem. So we bury him, we certainly are allowed to bury him where he's found. So now the question is, heich de nimtzei roish b'makom echad. His head was found in one spot. The gufa b'makom achar, and his body in another spot. So what do we do? Rabbi Eliezer says that we take the head to the body. You take the body to the head. What's the machlokes? Says the Gemara. What must have happened is that the body fell where it fell, and the head which was severed, the head rolled away. But really, where did he die? He died in the spot where the body is found. It's the head that fell. It's the body that floated, that rolled away. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, in a case where it's obvious, both opinions really agree with the other opinion. So therefore, where it's obvious that it's either the head or the body rolled away, there's no question. The question here is, well, we can't tell. So what are we going to do? Do we assume that the head rolled, or do we assume that the body rolled? And both agree that it's possible it's the other way, just which is more likely. I saw that the Mechitz Yitzchak discusses that if a Meis Mitzvah was buried in a place that we're learning Karnam Mekoymoy, that he's buried where he's found, but then the family is concerned that he was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, or he was buried in a place that's not really a cemetery, and who knows what's going to happen in that field. May he be exhumed and moved? Says the Mechitz Yitzchak that he may. It's no different than we learned the Gemara that if somebody was buried and they want to move him to his family plot, that the halach is mutter. That's what the Mechitz Yitzchak says. I saw a very nice verse from the Paradis Yosef. We know that when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he told his brothers, bring my father Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim. So I was always bothered, obvious question, what's the Derech Eretz? Yaakov should come to Yosef, Yosef should go to Yaakov. So we know that Rashi says, Yosef sent a siman to Yaakov Avinu. What were they learning? Egla Rufa. What is the lesson of Egla Rufa? The Roishai goes to the Guf. The head goes to the body. So Yosef was telling his father, you're right, you're the head, and I'm the Guf. But Egla Rufa teaches us that the head comes to the Guf. From where did they measure? So we saw either from the neck, from the navel, or from the nose. The Maikamufki. Life is from the nose, from the navel. And this is the basis for the famous shaila, what is considered death? Brain death? That's if you hold bitibure, or is it from, it has to be the stopping to pump. And here we see that it's considered from the choytmoy. Even though we say it's mechaytmoy, I saw both Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach say nowadays that we could put a person on a respirator and people, Baruch Shem, get off respirators. So even if he's not breathing, you should not be declared death. Lema, kani tanoi. Maybe this machlek is the same as the following machlekes. Mehechen avlad noitzer. From where is the child created? Meroisha. V'kein oimer, memei imi ata goizi. V'oimer goizi nezerch v'shlichus. We see the head. Abba Sholomer, Mitaburo is created from his middle. Umashlech Shurasha Eilech Eilech, and from there he expands. Says the Gemara, feel time Abba Shol. Even Abba Shol that says that the child is created from the middle, Atkan Lekom Abba Shol El Lenyatzir, from where he's created. The Chimitzer, Abba Shol holds, Vlad Mimitzimitzir, created from the middle, from the center. Avel In Chiluse, regarding life, the Kule Amab Apehudiksiv. It connected to breathing. The ksiv kol hashem nishmas ruchaim ba'apav. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer makom shenasa chalol b'tzavorei from his neck. My time, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the ksiv lo seis oischa al tzavrei chalolei rishon. So I saw that the rishonim debate, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that we measure from the neck. Is that only if his neck was severed, stabbed? So then he says we measure from the neck. But let's say he was stabbed elsewhere. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say we'll measure from there, from where he was killed. Or does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean to say that we always measure from the neck, even if that wasn't the place where he was killed? Says the Mishnah, Nifter Zikne Yerushalayim, the Zikne Yerushalayim leave, for Hochalan Zikne Oisair, and now the Zikne of that city come, Mavin Eglis Boker, Ashloi Mashke Baal, they bring a calf that was never worked upon. However, the Rishonim point out that even though it's the Zakenim that physically bring the eagle, but all of the members of the city have to participate in paying for it, then a blemished eagle is not a problem. However, Chaim Kievsky says, one that is a trafer is disqualified. It's brought down to a hard place. Rambam says it has to be a flowing river. Eisen kamashmoy, kosher, if it's a hard place, apishen eson, even though it's not eson, it's kosher. For oifenor soy, and they chop off his head, the kupitz with a big knife, mecharef from behind it. Why from behind it? Tup shot them. One is just like this eagle didn't know that's getting killed because it was from the back. So too, this person who was murdered, we don't know who the murderer is. Or, because it's particularly gruesome to kill an animal that way. And here too, when we find a murdered corpse, not knowing who killed him, it's a very gruesome situation. And this spot is prohibited, Milizroya, to plant there, Milavad, or work the field there. However, Mutalistic Shampishtan, we may comb flax there, or Nakashem Avonim. What's the Mishnah teaching us? We may think that we're going to comb flax, maybe the flax seeds will fall and something will grow. Or maybe if we clear the area, it'll be considered that we worked on the ground. Kamashmon, that it's not awesome. Ziknei oisei roichsen as yadayim b'mayim. They would wash their hands. According to Rambam, that wash, they would be toivel. They would immerse their hands in the nachal. B'mokim arifish l'golim. V'amr yadeinu l'shofcha sadon hazeh, v'lo'enu l'arinu. So as we learned in Daflam Ches, v'chis al-data also, Do we have any havamina? Shazikne Bezdin Shaif Kadamahain? That the Zikne Bezdin, they were the murderers? Ella, what they were saying is, Shlaboya Dana Betranu Blaimazan. He didn't come and we didn't let him leave without having something to eat. Vlarinov and Nichna Beloy Levia. They always have to escort somebody home. The Kahanim Oimrim, Kapal Amcha Yisrael Ashabadisa Hashem, Valtitain Dam Noki Bekarev Amecha. Yisrael, says the Mishnah, Loy Hayutzrichim Loimer the Nechapel Amadam, they never had to say it. El Ruach HaKodesh Mevasrosan, the Ruach HaKodesh announces, Emesai Shetasu Kocha, if you will act and follow this procedure, Hadam Eskapelahem, the blood of the eagle will be a kapara for this dead corpse.